Have you had enough of the same old routine? These verses offer us a different life. Not like TV programs, New Life in the Sun or New Life in the Country. Not even like New Life clothes online for women. Not like any of those, because they're all on the outside. If you really want to have a new life, you need to be a different person on the inside. And that's what this passage is all about. So let's start by reading it. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This letter was written to people like us. This short passage explains why we need a new life. The secret is in what you choose. Hidden in these words are two ladders. What's that you say? I can't see any ladders. Take my word for it. There's one down there. It's a ladder we should never get on. The rungs are a series of cause and effects. So in this passage, it uses terms like because of, due to, and so that. This is the first rung in verse 17. It describes the people on this ladder as futile in their thinking and darkened in their understanding. This ladder is going down, and it starts in the mind. Where it's going is dark and pointless. That's what futile means. The next rung tells us where this thinking comes from. Verse 18. It comes when we're separated from the life of God, when we turn our backs on God. It means we become ignorant of his ways, deaf to his voice, and unaware of his presence in our lives. We forget how much he cares for us, how much he loves us and wants to look after us, how much he wants to spend time with us. Now, it'd be natural to ask, why would a Christian turn his back on God? But it happens. Remember, this letter was written to the church at Ephesus. The next rung tells us who it happens to. Verse 19. It happens to those whose hearts are hard and have lost all sensitivity, insensitive to God and callous to the needs of people. Now, two themes run through this passage. They're connected in the New Testament, but not really in our thinking. They're impurity and greed. They're linked more than you realize. They are both about wanting more. They're on the bottom rung of this ladder, verse 19. They give themselves over to sensuality and are full of greed, always hungry for more. Quite a few years ago now, I went through a time when I wanted more than I should have. Better job, more money. In my own mind, I justified it. I was doing it for my family, so I told myself. One day, I wanted a £500 music notation program called Sibelius. I couldn't afford it, but I wanted it. Again, I convinced myself it was for my daughter. I downloaded an illegal, unlicensed, free version from Russia. Inevitably, it came with a virus. I learned a big lesson. Greed and pornography come from the same urges. As the program Sibelius downloaded, images appeared on my computer program. Sad young ladies, no doubt trafficked and abused. Their images and videos filled my hard drive. I tried all sorts of things. I clicked the cross at the top. I used techie things, control, alt, delete, things like that. Nothing worked. They just kept downloading. So I took it off at the plug and it stopped. As soon as I put my computer on, they started up again. At that point in time, I was on that ladder with my corrupted computer, and the only thing I could do was wipe the whole hard drive clean, losing all my work. Hundreds of worksheets, I was a teacher at the time, and lesson plans, all lost because I got greedy. I tell you this with shame. I'm not proud of it. It's here in this passage. The extreme language here, the stark warning, is of a people who've completely turned their back on God. They aren't just a bit off course. They have, verse 19, lost all sensitivity, given themselves over to sensuality. Verse 20, indulge in every kind of impurity and are full of greed. This was written to Christians. It's not speaking here about the sort of mistakes we make every day. A flash of anger, a critical comment, wanting a car as fancy as your neighbour's when he pulls up. These are part of the everyday temptations we all experience as we go through life. These are the things we ask God to help us overcome and forgive us for when we get it wrong. But the person on this ladder has descended to somewhere much darker and utterly pointless. For him or her, it's become overwhelming. And it's a severe warning when we're tempted to step on that ladder. Paul tells them at Ephesus, verse 17, don't live like that. It's futile and it's dark. Now you might not be wrestling with pornography or other addictions. You might not be overwhelmed by anger and bitterness, but you could be in an even more dangerous place. Perhaps you're on the rung of greed without even knowing it. You see, we live in a society, don't we, where elevating your status, wanting more than others, it's not called greed. It's the definition of being middle class. We have to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves, has greed become acceptable in our thinking? How can we tell? It tells us in this passage. We can tell by our reaction to the needy people around us. Here it's referred to as hardened and insensitive hearts in verse 19. That's the most dangerous place to be, at the bottom of the ladder, without even knowing it. Thankfully, we're told what we can do. It might be hard, but it's simple. He writes it in verse 22. Put off your old self. Take it off as though it were a garment to discard. Now, the way Paul writes needs a bit of explanation. He starts off in verse 17 with a phrase that was used in those days in courtrooms. This I tell you and insist on it. What he wrote was a legal phrase. It was as if he was standing up in a courtroom to deliver some critical piece of evidence that people had to hear. similar to how we'd say, I solemnly swear to tell the truth. That's how Paul begins this important instruction. And then as he goes through it, he gets to the end in verse 22 and says, put off your old self. And he writes it in a Greek tense that's a once and for all decision. From now on, this is how it's going to be. It conveys a single decisive action. Paul is saying, remove it like a sweaty, filthy old vest. Now, I've got a sweaty, filthy old vest here. And this morning, I had an even smellier one because I was feeding my granddaughter at about 6 o'clock. And it was her first go on the spoon. And she got the spoon. And she first thing she did when I filled it up was throw it all over my vest. So it needs to go down there. It needs to be. There is a ladder down there. I'll not open it up now. It will be a health and safety issue. But basically, if I put it down there, Paul is saying, put it down there, leave it. Put the lid on it, leave it. Don't go back to it. Of course we'll be tempted again. But the way he writes it is it's a single decisive action. Have done with that way of life. The English language isn't helpful here. Put off can mean linger or procrastinate, can't it? That's not what Paul means. When he writes put off, he means make a decision and do it. The old self, it's futile, dark and ignorant. Take it off, bury it. You will need the help of others, but only you can choose to do it. Discussing it is not doing it. Take it off and bury it. Fortunately, there's another ladder in this passage, verse 20. It tells us it starts with knowing the truth about Jesus. What is this truth in Jesus? Every faith, every religion involves getting closer to God by being good. Even the humanist code of living is how to be good. I watched a Muslim funeral. To handle the body, which was about to be buried, the imam and the close relatives all had to have a shower and wash their hands a second time. And then they had to shower down the naked dead body. It was all to make it acceptable to God, clean enough to enter into God's presence. And that's what reflects what most religious people do all their lives. They try to be clean enough, good enough for God. But what they change is all on the outside. Verse 21, that's not in accordance with the truth in Jesus. The truth in Jesus is completely different. He sacrificed himself to put right all those things you couldn't sort out. He took the greed and the impurity you couldn't rectify, nailed it to a cross, and buried it with himself for you. That's why he had to die, so it would stay down there. In one sense, he didn't want to do it. It was so ugly, so dark. Jesus prayed, if it can be avoided, take it away from me. But he had to die to deal with the real problem. Not his problem, our problem. Like my old hard drive, our lives have to be wiped clean. Only he can do it, because only he died for us. Now Jesus has this new life for you. Christian or non-Christian, churchgoer or not, God has a new life for you. Now at this point, I was going to explain how to climb up the second ladder a rung at a time, even with an extra quarter of an hour. You'll be relieved. Rather than drawing it out, I'd rather take you straight to the top. Because these verses are an amazing opportunity. And I don't want us to miss it. What's at the top of the upward ladder? Put on the new self created to be like God. How can this happen? As before, it begins in the mind. Verse 23. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. The New Testament tells us a lot more about this new self. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans 7:6, we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not of the written code. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The new self is a new creation. The new self has a transformed mind, a new spirit, and is a new creation. That's not on the outside, is it? And we can't do this with the greedy old self, can we? As Jesus told Nicodemus, we have to be born again. The only way we can be a new person is to be born again. Especially me, the foremost of sinners, proud, degenerate, and a million other faults. Now, Paul called himself the same thing. He thought of himself as worse than anybody else. So if you're here this morning thinking, I'm too bad, I'm not good enough for God, join the club. Paul had murdered Christians before he became a Christian. You're not too bad for God because he can wipe you clean, white as snow. I haven't got it in me to be good enough for God. So I've stopped trying in that sense. Put on the new self created to be like God. He can do it. What in practical terms does this mean, putting on the new life? Well, we keep seeing it starts in the mind. It happens when we spend time listening to God speak to us through the Bible. It happens when the Holy Spirit takes those words that he's spoken to us and makes them real inside our hearts, in our lives. Taking time in our busy life to listen to God. Taking time to build that relationship that he so wants more than we do. When there's 1,000 other demands, it transforms our lives. Give God time each day. Tell him what's not working. Trust him to put things right. And even more, trust him to put you right inside. It starts with your mind, but then your feelings follow. But it's got to be real, hasn't it? We trust him for a new life in this real world. I've had to learn to trust him to change circumstances and people. When I was quite young after becoming a Christian, I think I was 25, my first job was moving boxes in a warehouse. And there was this other guy there, and he was bigger than me, and he was stronger than me, and he was older than me. And he'd heard, if you slap a Christian on the face, he's not supposed to hit you back. Not that I would have hit him back anyway. So he would spend a lot of the day thumping me on my back and my shoulders and my arms, and I'd go home with about 3 or 4 bruises each day. And I couldn't really do anything about it, and I was a young Christian, I didn't know what to say or do. You want to come across as a wimp or a whinger, my greatest fear in life. And so I thought, what shall I do? And I prayed. I prayed that God would sort it out and stop him doing this. It wasn't in the days where you could go to your boss. There wasn't a kind of HR department or anything like that. So I talked to God about it and just asked him to deal with it. And when I went in after the weekend on Monday, the guy wasn't there. And he wasn't there the next day. And the third day, he came and he got his cards from the office and we found out what had happened to him. He was a bit rough. He was being chased by the police, and he ran out into a road, got knocked over by a car, and the arm that he used to thump me with, he broke his arm, and it was in a plaster cast. I'm sure I shouldn't, as a good Christian, laugh at his dilemma, but it was nice to see God changing the real world in my life. If you think life's not working, you don't need to follow a different set of rules. You need to become a new person. You need to live a new life with a new mind, a new spirit, and be a new creation. Leave the old one buried in the ground and put on the new self made in the likeness of God. Because of what God has made us, we can do this. Created to be like God, it says. That's almost beyond belief, isn't it? Now, the old life wants you to think, can't happen. You're too busy, too overwhelmed, too tired. Don't believe it. The new creation opens up a whole new life for you. You can shut the door on all those what were overwhelming urges, and you can put on this new life. This man, we'll get there, is Leif Hetland. He was a pastor in Norway, and he did his duty as a pastor until he got burnt out. Then God showed Leif his great love and power. His whole life became new. He wrote, "It all begins with identity, seeing ourselves as God sees us, thinking and feeling about ourselves as he does, and loving ourselves as he does, because we can never love him or others until we've experienced his love ourselves." You see, his life, his new self, was very different to just doing his duty. Leif started to have a real living relationship with God. What we were praying about and thinking about and singing about at the beginning of this service. It was living. And God called Leif to work with Muslims in Pakistan. And he went to Pakistan and he helped and healed thousands of Muslims, which is a shock to the system. And it was an even bigger shock when the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, their old cricket captain, came up and awarded him a certificate and called him an apostle of love. You are always welcome in Pakistan. God can do great things with our new self. If you want to be a new man or woman created to be like God in all his love and victory over darkness and ignorance, this is the passage for you. This is the message paraphrase of the last two verses, 22 to 24. Everything connected with that old life, that old way of life, has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately produces his character in you. I close by adding, not just his character, but himself, his person, that's his life, his spirit, his mind and his image in you. What an opportunity. If you want to come and pray for that new life, Christian or non-Christian, at the end of this service, we'd love to pray with you. Because God wants you to have it. Let's just pray now. Father God, thank you for the wonderful opportunities you give us. We come to you in repentance. We come to you knowing we can't do it ourselves. All we can do is on the outside, but you can change the inside. And we pray that you would take away this greedy, impure self that was inside us. And you'd help us to bury it in the ground and leave it there forever. Amen.
We're going to finish our service with the song, This